Hi, guys. I have an important message for y'all now that I see that all the right people are here. We've been trying to reach you about your vehicle's extended warranty. And no, just kidding. So, anyway, my name is Steve. I'm a fixture in the house here, part of the furniture, and I'm really glad you're here. You could be so many other places right now. But I'm here to bring you a message that if your ears and your hearts are open, you'll be able to walk away with something very, indeed very special. So, Father, I thank you, God, for every heart and mind that's here. Thank you, Lord, that they are knit together with your spirit right now as you speak, as you convey the heart of God, as you convey your heart to them, and as you wrap them in your love and your care and your assurance, Father, that, Lord, they're able to go forward from this place. Lord God, Father, just a little bit closer, a little bit greater than before, Father, because you live greater in them. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Thank you, Father, that you bless the hearer today in Jesus' name. The main thing I'm trying to convey today is that the best way to say God be with you, or goodbye, is to say hello. Now, goodbyes are not fun. We don't like goodbyes, but the best way to say goodbye is how you say hello every day. A year ago, I was trying to remember exactly, but I was at the soccer field in Petaluma, and I was doing my midday workout. And, I would do laps and do a half a lap. And, you know, I'm not exactly an Olympic quality athlete, but I ended up one of my laps. I came to a stop and I kept walking, and I felt myself getting really dizzy. And I had been dizzy before, but this, nothing like this. This was very powerful dizziness that I was feeling, to the point where my eyesight was going white and I felt like I was going to fall over. So I went with it, you know. I went with it. I go, I'm going down. So I went with it and decided to control the descent and ended up on my face on the soccer field, nice and soft. I wasn't hurt. But I don't know how much time passed, but in a moment or a few moments, I heard myself saying, get up, get up, get up, get up. And I started opening my eyes, and I realized I was on the field. And I started to realize where I was, and I was feeling the dizziness a little bit. And I was in shock because I'm like, wow, you know, I went somewhere for I don't know how long, you know. And, you know, you think about that later, and you go, you know, that was crazy. You know, I wasn't expecting that. I had no expectation to be completely out, unconscious. But I gathered myself, and I took a look around, and I decided what to do. I decided I was going to go to my truck. I got to my truck. I sat there for a few more minutes, just trying to decide what to do. And I ended up going back to work. And I ended up going back to work and, you know, trying to play it off. And I decided I was going to make a phone call, you know. Subsequently, the doctor visits later on found that I have some blockage in my arteries and we've had treatments and everything. And I won't bore you with all of that. But it's that kind of thing that kind of has me thinking about mortality, about, you know, the number of my days. And so I woke up last Sunday and I started thinking about that, and it became very apparent that God wanted me to relay something of that to you today. Are you with me so far? Okay. So, you know, in hindsight, it was entirely possible that, you know, wow, what if I never woke up from that day in the field? You know, we just don't know what the what time it is a lot of times. We don't know the number of our days. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The New Living Translation says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. So I'm just going to share a few grown-up things today, okay? But first, we'll keep it light. One person said, when I die, I want to die like my grandfather, who died peacefully in his sleep, unlike all the screaming passengers in his car. And another one is a Japanese man once tried to fake his own death. It didn't work because his family wouldn't bereave him. You get it? Japanese guy, bereave. Yeah, anyway. So, now lastly, at a memorial service, the minister giving the eulogy said, the widow has asked if anyone would like to share a word. A man stood up and said, plethora. And then he sat down. The widow turned to him and said, thank you, that means a lot. Okay. All right. Plethora means a lot, you know. Okay. So where is it we can hear the kindest words you'll ever hear from the greatest number of people? Unfortunately, you know where that is. It's at a funeral or a memorial service. These are places where we hear the most glowing opinions, the most wonderful reports, the heartwarming anecdotes of our friends and family, and it brings happy tears to our eyes. And this practice is 100% right. This is the way it should be. It's also the only time that most of y'all would ever sit still for a compliment, right? You ever try to give somebody a compliment? No. They just won't have it. Well, at a memorial service, they don't have a choice. So a minister friend of mine once told me the right formula for ministering at a memorial is honor the dead, comfort the living, and offer salvation. Negativity is to be avoided. And when negativity is spoken, it should be followed up or joined with some humor or, you know, an even greater testimony. You know, for the most part, a memorial service is when a person's history gets elevated to hero status. And that is 100% right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think God does too, because the Bible says it in Hebrews 11, he's talking about the hall of faith and giving an account of all of these lives. And Abraham, for example, even though he made quite a few mistakes along the way, he was given a glowing report by the author of Hebrews. Nothing negative was even presented. And so ultimately we know the author of Hebrews is God. So if God chooses to be positive completely with someone's final report card, we can be too. So that's why I believe it's 100% right. But the question comes to mind, here's the crux of the matter, is did the person being honored, did they know that they were that awesome? Did anyone ever tell them that they were that awesome while they were still around? I've often thought that the loved one being remembered should have heard all of that stuff while he was here, or she was here. I know you probably thought the same thing. Personally, any parties that get scheduled in my honor, I'd rather that they do it on a day when I can be there, right? So, but we the living, the point is we the living have a responsibility. Too often, we don't take the chance to bless people when they're around. We miss it many times. Like Mark Twain said, I was seldom able to see an opportunity until it ceased to be one. Some of the reasons we hold back are because, this is my list. Okay, I didn't get this out of a magazine or anything like that. So do with it what you will. One reason is we're too self-absorbed. Our hearts are too busy to see good in others and express it. I know exactly what this is like. That's why it's probably number one on my list. I can't count the number of times I've stopped myself and said, hey, you know, all you're doing is working and sleeping. And you're hardly even saying hello to people as you go by. That's how it feels sometimes. Can anybody identify with that? You know, another reason is we're too wounded. We hold back because of bitterness and offense, and we're blinded by the pain. It's almost kind of the same thing. We're self-absorbed. We're, you know, it's understandable. Another reason, we assume people won't appreciate our words or our deeds. They won't appreciate what we've got to say. For whatever reason, or they won't appreciate the gestures that we make or the kindnesses that we give. So we hold back. Sometimes we think it won't be enough. Whatever we say and do won't be enough. Sometimes we're afraid it's going to feel awkward. Or it could be costly. It could cost us something. Or it could feel awkward. And the point here is for me to encourage us all to step out and put your foot in your mouth. Put your faith in your mouth. Just get your efforts out there. Get it out there so someone can take advantage of you or take advantage of the situation. Go ahead and let it happen. Pray and use your God-given imagination. Your God-given talent. Remember, God is not so pleased if we withhold our talents. Amen? He's happier when you give it out. He's happier when you take what he's invested in you and you give it out. Be willing to embarrass yourself. You know, I'm willing to get embarrassed today. Above all, don't delay. It's easy to think we got plenty of time or that it can wait till tomorrow. The problem is we're on a time limit. Job says, our time on earth is brief. The number of our days is already decided by you. So, quick show of hands, how many of you know the number of your days? Paul had a pretty good idea how many days he had, how long he had. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Paul didn't mind. He didn't seem to mind his life being poured out as a drink offering. He knew it was happening. The difference between Paul and us is he knew it was happening. Your life is being poured out right now, daily. Little or much. That's the intent. It's for your life, for the life that God pours into us to be poured out. Now is the time for us to look past our awkward feelings, to do and say the things God has prepared in advance for us to do. We have the chance here and now to say what we want to say. And it might just be God speaking. Even if we think it's not on a spiritual plane, we think it's not lofty enough. We think it's not, you know, doesn't have enough zing to it. We say it anyways. That's what's meant to be done. It's what's meant to be said. Your words are life, because if you're part of the body of Christ, your words are life because Christ is in you. Jesus said, "My words are life." Well, who's speaking through you now? Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We have today. While it's still called today, we encourage each other. A quote from Harriet Beecher Stowe says, "The bitterest tears shed over graves are for words left unsaid and deeds left undone." The best way to prepare ourselves for our last day, the best way to prepare the earth for their last day, is for all of us to give out a radical, no holds barred hello every day. The best goodbye is a heartfelt, colossal hello today. And I use the word goodbye, but really, it's not such a terrible word, because it comes from the old English of "God be with you." And so when you're saying goodbye, you're not really saying goodbye, not as we know it. You're actually saying a blessing over people. And that's what we want. We want to be a blessing. We want to say a blessing over the earth, over the people that we love, when we have the chance, before we find ourselves face down on a soccer field. We have that opportunity today. In small ways, in big ways. Another quote from Trey Parker says, "Saying goodbye doesn't mean anything. It's the time we spent together now that matters, not how we left it." So are you properly saying goodbye? God be with you today. Are you properly saying hello to the earth? If your eyes are open, you have a chance. So I came up with some answers of those points of reasons why we hold back. We are too self-absorbed. The answer to that is simply awareness. Simply a call to action. A reminder. Shake the tree. Pop the bubble. A prayerful awareness makes the difference sometimes. Like I said, I used to catch myself a lot of times and say, "Well, there's, you know, it's all just horizontal here. Let me hear what God has to say and give it out into the earth." And sometimes I even would. We are too wounded. The answer is My answer is do it wounded if you have to. If you only do or say things when you're feeling good, you'll never do anything. You won't be sorry later when you see God move. Let's not let the bitter things rob us of the better things. So we do it wounded if we have to. Your healing's coming. Trust. Your healing's coming. Your restoration's coming. Your reconciliation's coming. Your breakthrough is coming. Go ahead and step out in faith and go past the pain. It's temporary. And you say amen. Everyone say it's temporary. You may not be in pain today, but, you know, it's temporary. The answer to we don't think it'll be enough, or where am I? We assume people won't appreciate our words or deeds. Whether they appreciate it or value it is not up to us. What we do and say, you know, we hope that we'll be able to see people blessed by it. It's always fun. But whether they value it or not, it's not our decision. Do we only bless those who will bless us? I know the answer. Another answer to reasons we hold back is we don't think it will be enough. Every bit of it counts. You don't think it'll be enough? Every bit of it counts. King Saul. Many of you know the story of King Saul. He was King David's predecessor. And King Saul was named king only by default. It wasn't really the plan, the perfect will of God for there to be a king in Israel, but the people wanted it. So there was King Saul, doing the best he could, trying to get with God and making decisions, and he made some bad ones. But he made some good ones too. You know, he was one of the first kings. Well, he was actually the first king. But early in his reign, he delivered the nation of Israel from the Philistines. And, you know, he had some success. But then along comes David, who's just a dynamic, God's hand is on him all the way through. And God's will is on David as well. And Saul's thinking, you know, he's thinking that of David as a competition. But he hears this song that people are singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. And it got to Saul. He was upset by it. Made him jealous. Because he didn't think that what he'd done or who he was enough already. I mean, he'd lost sight of the fact that he was king. First of all, he's king. Second of all, he'd slain thousands. I mean, if they hadn't come up with a song, that'd be nothing to sneeze at. He had slain thousands. I mean, so what if some guy came along and slain 10,000s? There's always going to be somebody who's stronger, better, smarter, faster, younger. We don't want to get caught up in thinking that what we have to give will not be enough. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my dear brothers, sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So whatever you have, you give your whole hand into it. You go ahead and release it. You don't calculate whether it's enough. The little boy with his fish and his bread, offered up his lunch to Jesus when they were trying to figure out how to feed people. They ended up feeding 5,000 with that little bit of fish and that bread. Don't calculate whether or not what you have to give is enough. Amen? Holding back because it could feel awkward. It could feel awkward. Do it anyway. You know, ask yourself, what has being afraid and insecure got me so far? I ask myself that. What has fear and insecurity got me? Do it anyway. It may not ever get easy. But again, I don't want to go all the way to the end bottling up what God could have done. I don't want to be shy about something. You know, I may stutter, I may say the wrong thing or I may mix my words up or you know, not get to the point fast enough, what have you. But that awkwardness is worth it. Could be costly. Sometimes words are not enough. If a man sees the good that he should do and he doesn't do it, that's not good. It could feel awkward. See above. Do it anyway. You know, sometimes it'll get easier. So are you properly saying goodbye? Are you properly saying hello? Are you giving the earth a resounding hello today? You've got a chance. Right? You've got a chance right now. So we start with God. We start by, of course, giving God a big hello every day. That's where it belongs, is to start with him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's paying attention. I mean, not in a way of looking to see if you checked all the boxes, but he's paying attention to you wanting to say hello. Sometimes we get this idea that we have to cut ourselves and we have to do all these different things. We have to kick up dust and shout and, you know, use your imagination. But, you know, God's paying attention. All it takes is an aside. Say, hey, God. If we lavish our praise on men but not on God, we need to change something. We need to push the refresh button or something. And we shouldn't be afraid to say hello to God in different ways. I mean, I've got some different ways, you know. I experiment with different things. You know, there's no cookie cutter to it. And some days it's going to be a bigger hello than other days. That's okay. If you're worried about not knowing what to say, God knows. He knows we don't know how to pray like we should. That's why he sends the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So when you think that you're not saying a big enough hello to God, just rest assured, you've got help. The Holy Spirit takes what you give and makes it presentable to God. Say it the way that you're wired. Say it the way that you're meant to. Give the earth, give God your big hello and do it the way that you're meant to do it. Some say it all by works of service. it's best done with a cheerful heart, but even if our hearts are not in it, not feeling it, would rather eat bugs, the result will still be that you were obedient to the Spirit. You know, take for instance, some people do it with works of service. I mean, all I said to Bob was, "Hey, Bob, I heard you just put in some wood floors, some laminate floors in your house. You know, I could maybe use a few pointers, you know." And he jumped right in there and said, "You know what? Just tell me when you're going to do it. I'll be over there." Right? Don, Bob. Sorry. Sorry, Don. Proper. Don Hicks. I know. I just blew it right there. Bob didn't come over. It was Don. Bob probably would have come over, but Don came over. And I still have Don's T-square. I still have his mallet. Keep trying to give it back to him. He's all, "That's okay. I'm all okay. I'm all right now." But that's how Don says hello to the world, while he has a chance. And after that, he goes and he lays a concrete pad in Lou's driveway. You know, it doesn't all have to be with words. Your big hello to the earth can take many forms. Bob. Thanks, Bob. Some do say it all with words. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Sometimes less is more when it comes to words. Some say it with giving. Just beware that if giving is the way that you say hello to the earth, if that's your greeting, if that's your big hello, your God be with you, then make sure that you're not skipping the human interaction part. Make sure that when you're giving, you're not just giving and walking away. Make sure you're not hiding behind that activity as a way not to connect with people. But giving is good. So I want to leave you with a couple of great blessings. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall softly on your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. We'd like to say that to everybody every day, wouldn't we? And then may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God be with you. The best way to say God be with you is to make sure that your hello is loud and clear. That's all I have. That's all I have, but I want to pray with you right now, so if you're willing, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for every opportunity you give us, God. We're grateful to you, God, that we're able to open our eyes and we can say to ourselves, get up, let's go, let's say hello. While some men are trying to make their mark in the business world, God, we want to make our mark in your sight, God. We want to leave our mark where it counts in people's hearts today, God. We want to leave no regrets on the table, God. And make sure that we're properly numbering our own days, God. Not taking anything for granted. I ask you to bless this word in the hearts of your people today, God, in Jesus' name. And right now, I want to offer mostly for the podcast, but for anyone here who might want to rededicate their life, they might want to make sure that they have a part in the kingdom of God. I just say today is your day. Today is the day that you're entering into life and the life of Christ enters into you. And it's your choice right now. So if that's your choice, if you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, just say, Jesus, I take you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive my sins, past, present, and future, which you settled for me forever at the cross. I am yours, Lord, and I take you as mine. In Jesus' name. Everyone says amen. All right.